One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Some people spend their lives running from spirits. Others confront them head on. But what happens when you decide to simply ignore them? Not in the denial kind of way, but with a calm, deliberate indifference. Our storyteller today is someone who discovered early in life that fear gave spirits power. So at the ripe old age of 17, they made a choice. No more fear. No more engagement. And guess what? It worked. They became a ghost repellent. Paranormal hotspots would go quiet the moment they stepped inside, and even the most sensitive spiritual types couldn't pick up so much as a whisper when they were around. Sounds like the perfect solution, right? But here's the thing about the paranormal. Just because you ignore it doesn't mean it goes away. Sometimes a place is just too determined to stay noticed. Enter. A beautiful ivy-covered house the narrator couldn't resist renting. Everything seemed perfect until move-in day. That's when the house decided to introduce itself, calling the narrator by name from empty rooms and throwing open the back door like an impatient roommate. And the creepiest part? Once the narrator calmly told the spirit to knock it off, it actually listened. Mostly. Except for that one incident, when a baking pan flew across the room just to remind them who was really in charge. Now, this isn't your average ghost story with things flying off shelves and poltergeists slamming doors. It's a story about coexistence, about what happens when you stop being afraid, set some boundaries, and see if the spirits are willing to play along. It's not flashy, but it's unsettling in the best kind of way. So what do you think? Can you really just ignore a haunting and hope it goes away? Or is this house just biding its time, waiting for the right moment to make itself known again? Let's dive in and find out. Dear Tony, when I was younger, paranormal and spiritual experiences were a constant part of my life. They weren't the friendly, oh, look, a flickering light kind of things. They were intense and often terrifying. Growing up in a very conservative Christian household didn't exactly help. Fear of the unknown ran deep in our family. By the time I turned 17, I couldn't take it anymore. I made a decision right then and there. I would shut myself off from the spiritual world. No more fear. No more acknowledging anything unusual. If ghosts or spirits wanted my attention, they weren't going to get it. At first, it was hard. Old habits don't break easily, and that overwhelming fear didn't just disappear overnight. But after a couple of years, I got better at it. By the time I hit 20, paranormal things stopped bothering me. In fact, I ignored them so thoroughly that they might as well not exist. I became good, really good, at dismissing anything out of the ordinary. There was an unintended side effect of my new attitude, though. I became what I can only describe as a ghost repellent. Wherever I went, haunted places seemed to quiet down. Friends who were sensitive to spiritual energy told me they couldn't pick up on anything when I was around. Even locations notorious for paranormal activity felt flat when I was there. I figured ghosts just didn't want to waste their time with someone who wouldn't pay them any mind. But then I found the house. It was a beautiful little place, brick and stone, with ivy growing along the front. I'd admired it for years every time I passed by, but it was always vacant. Owning a house wasn't in the cards for me at the time, so I figured it would remain one of those what-if places. Then 2 years later, a for-rent sign popped up in the yard, right around the time my lease was ending. It felt like fate. I toured the house, and it was everything I'd hoped it would be. It even came with a cheesy little coincidence. A package of curtains in one of the kitchen cabinets had my name printed on it, part of the design label. I know, it's silly, but it felt like confirmation that this house was meant for me. So I signed the lease and started moving in toward the end of October. Almost immediately, the house let me know I wasn't alone. On the first day, as my roommate and I were moving things back and forth from the old place, I kept hearing someone call my name. It was clear as day, like someone in the next room trying to get my attention. Every time I call back, "What?" and go looking for my roommate. And every time she swore she hadn't said a word. It happened so many times that I eventually realized what was going on. It wasn't her. Things got stranger from there. All day, the back door kept opening and closing on its own. I'd walk into the room, and there it would be, swinging open like someone had just walked through. Then it would shut just as quickly with no one around. At first, my roommate didn't believe me, but when she finally saw it happen herself, she freaked out, and I have to admit, her fear started to get to me too. For a moment, I felt disappointed. I'd loved the idea of living in this house, but now it seemed like I'd signed up for more than I'd bargained for. But then I thought, so what? This was my house now, and no spirit was going to ruin that for me. And when my roommate left to grab another load from the old house, I decided to lay down some rules. I spoke out loud as calmly as I could and said something like, "Look, I'm fine with interior doors moving around if that's what you want to do. But the back door? That's off limits. I have pets, and if they get out because the door's open, that's not okay. So it stays shut. Got it?" And believe it or not, it worked. The door didn't open on its own again. Not that day, not ever. After that first day, things calmed down a lot. Once I set those boundaries, the house seemed to accept them. The back door stayed shut. The weird voices calling my name stopped, and for the most part, life in the house felt normal. Honestly, I thought my ghost repellent effect had kicked in again, and whatever presence had been there had decided it wasn't worth the effort. But there was one incident that I can't quite shake. About 2 weeks into living there, I was getting ready to leave for work, just going through my usual morning routine. I had my bag in hand and was halfway to the door when, out of nowhere, a baking pan flew off the stove and landed right in front of me. I froze. It didn't feel like it was thrown at me. It was more like it was placed there deliberately, blocking my way out. Now I've experienced my fair share of strange things, but that one caught me off guard. It wasn't aggressive, but it was purposeful. I stood there for a moment, trying to decide how I should react. Should I acknowledge it, engage with whatever had done it, or should I just shrug it off like everything else? In the end, I decided to ignore it. I picked up the pan, set it back on the stove, and walked out the door. Whatever message the spirit was trying to send, I wasn't interested in receiving it. That was the last time anything truly strange happened. Since then, it's been quiet, almost too quiet. The house creaks and groans like any old house would, but nothing unexplainable has occurred. I haven't felt the presence I sensed on the first day, and I haven't heard any more voices calling my name. It's almost like the spirit realized I wasn't going to play along, so it decided to leave me in peace. I've thought about researching the history of the house, but honestly, I don't see the point. Whatever was here doesn't seem interested in causing trouble, and I have no desire to stir things up by digging into the past. I'd rather live in peace. even if that piece feels a little eerie. And I still don't know if my presence has driven the spirit away completely, or if it's just resting, lying low until the right moment to return. But I've made my peace with it either way. As long as it stays quiet, I have no reason to disturb it. I know this probably isn't the most exciting ghost story you've ever heard. No angry poltergeists, no creepy apparitions, just a house, a baking pan, and a ghost who figured out that I'm not someone worth bothering. But for me, that's more than enough excitement. It's been a long time since I've experienced a presence like this, and I'd be happy if it stays dormant from now on. Thanks for taking the time to hear me out, Tony. I guess the moral of my story is that sometimes the best way to deal with the paranormal is not to deal with it at all. All the best, Ellie. Well, folks, this one gives us a lot to think about, doesn't it? Ellie didn't run screaming from the house, didn't call in a paranormal team, and didn't try to sage the place into submission. No, she took a different route. She told the spirit, "You can stay, but don't mess with my doors." And wouldn't you know it? The ghost actually listened. That right there might be the most impressive part of this whole story, getting a spirit to follow house rules. Now let's consider the practical side for a moment. Could some of these incidents have been written off as a combination of stress, an old house, and overactive imaginations? Sure, houses creak, doors swing open when the wind blows the right way, and sometimes we hear things that aren't there. But then there's the baking pan incident. That's the kind of thing that's hard to dismiss. It didn't fall off the counter. It flew across the room, landing in front of Ellie like a deliberate message. What was it saying? Stay? Go? Or maybe just, hey, I'm still here. But here's where it gets interesting. Ellie didn't react, not the way most of us would, at least. She didn't panic or dive into the house's history looking for clues. She didn't try to cleanse the place. She just let it be. And in doing so, she might have stumbled onto a very different way of dealing with the paranormal. A lot of theories out there say that spirits feed off fear, that they grow stronger the more attention you give them. Ellie's ghost-repellent attitude seems to prove that point. By refusing to engage, she effectively starved the spirit of whatever it needed to stay active. Maybe it's still there, watching quietly from the shadows, or maybe it's finally found peace, knowing it won't be disturbed. The big takeaway here is that sometimes the best way to deal with the paranormal isn't with salt circles and ghost hunters. Sometimes all it takes is setting a few boundaries and sticking to them. It's like saying, you can stay, but don't touch my stuff. And wouldn't you know it? That just might be enough. I'm Tony Bruschi. And remember, if a ghost calls your name, you don't always have to answer. Sleep tight, folks.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.